In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave and you
forgive
my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices.
My flesh also dwells securely.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You make known to me the path of life.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading for this Trinity Sunday is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were upon the expanse from the waters. And there above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and the days and years, and let them be lights to the expanse of the heavens, to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God sent them in the God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly over the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is in the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
And his greatness is
on your wondrous works I will meditate. Our epistle reading, our second reading, is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also did dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about this patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God was shown with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the gospel.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sin, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is our gospel lesson for today from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, particularly these words, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This is our text. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, when you put together all the efforts of all the Christian churches in all of the world in mission work, there are billions and billions of dollars and hours and hours and hours of work that goes in each year on mission work. But in spite of this tremendous effort put out by Christian churches around the world, the percentage of Christians in the population numbers around the world continues to shrink. Even in our own country, with all the mission work that goes on here, and with such a high percentage of Christians to start with, the percentage of Christians in our population here in the U.S. is even lower today than it was 10 years ago. And the percentage of people who claim to believe in no God continues to grow. So that the mission effort, even as large as it is, seems to be failing, what should we do? Should we give up and quit? Should we let people believe anything or even believe nothing and still consider them faithful? We certainly cannot do that. For several reasons. The proclamation of God's word is vitally important. First of all, because God commands it. He tells us to go. Secondly, because each soul that is won is important to God, like that one sheep out of the 99. And thirdly, because of the grace given to each of us, we cannot but help give witness to the love and the grace of God given to each of us, telling others of the wondrous works of God is important. Today is Trinity Sunday. This is the message that we are to proclaim, that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, as we read in the Old Testament, Redeemer in the Gospel lesson, and Sanctifier, as we read in the Gospel reading. Why is this message so important? It's important because sin is universal. The Apostle Paul in Romans makes this clear. He says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Sin is universal. There are no exceptions. The scriptures tell us that none of us are good enough to deserve God's love and forgiveness on the basis of our own good works. Oh yes, there are times when we might have avoided temptation, and there are times when we do help other people with their needs, and there are times when we are better people than those who are around us. But the truth of the matter still remains. All people, including you and me, are sinners. Unless we think we do a pretty good job ourselves, the Apostle James reminds us, "For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles at just one part, is guilty of breaking all of it." Sin is universal. Paul lets us know why this is bad in Romans chapter 6, where he says, "The wages of sin is death." We just got through saying that all people are sinners. We just said that absolutely no one is perfect before God. We just said that if we break even one point of the law, we're guilty of the whole thing before God. And now we read, "The wages of sin is death." Another passage of Scripture is just as frightening. "The soul that sins, it shall die." Because of sin, which is universal, all people deserve death. But then Romans chapter 6 also tells us the good news. "But the gift of God is eternal life." Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why the message of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, is so important. The world is condemned to eternal death and hell because of sin. The Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." But not just any faith. Good intentions do not count. Sincere efforts don't count. Doing the best you can isn't enough. We can be right with God only through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Old Testament made this clear. "He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." That is the story of a Savior who saves. A Savior who puts himself in our place, who bears our punishment, who dies the death that we rightly deserved because of our sins. The Apostle John in his first epistle says that Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He died not just for you and for me. He died for all people, for the whole world. And the whole world needs to know that. Because Jesus said in the Gospel of St. John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." There are no exceptions to the rule. There are no, "But what about this?" or "What about that?" No, there are no exceptions. Because of the clear statement, "No one comes to the Father but by me." And Jesus also says, if you do not know me, you do not know the Father. I and the Father are one. And so today we remember the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three. That is why the world must be told the good news of a God who loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, a world he had created, a son as a Savior to die on a cross for the sins of all mankind, for you and for me, and about the Holy Spirit who calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps us in that one true faith. By God's grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, do we have the promise of eternal life. That's why the message of Trinity Sunday is so important. But how is this message going to get out? How is this good news going to be spread to sinful people around the world? Jesus told us how in Matthew chapter 28, our gospel lesson for today. There we read, "The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age.'" We call that the Great Commission. Jesus said, go. The story is told of God talking with an angel. And the angel asked God how he was going to get that message of salvation to all of the world. And God said, the disciples would carry that message to the world. The angel looked at God and asked, "Are you sure? These are the guys who forsook you and fled. These are the guys who denied even knowing you at least three times. These guys were hiding in an upper room for fear of the Jews. These fellows are pretty weak to get such a big task done. What is your backup plan? What is plan B?" And God said, "There is no plan B." Today, there still is no plan B. If the good news of God's grace and love in Jesus Christ is to reach the whole world, the disciples, that is you and me, are the ones who must get the message out. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." If Jesus was talking to you and to me today, he would tell us that we are his witnesses. And our range of witness would be Wallace, Texas, United States, and the ends of the earth. God does not give his people a choice between home missions and foreign missions. He says we are responsible for both. The proclamation of the gospel is important, and we are all missionaries for Christ. Pray that the word of God will be spread far and wide. Tell someone close to you about God the Father who created you, about God the Son who has redeemed you, and about God the Holy Spirit who has sanctified and kept you in that one true faith. That's what the Trinity is all about. We are to go. We are to teach. We are to baptize. May the Holy Spirit work in us by grace through faith, so that we may be about our Father's business, reaching out to the world with this wonderful message of salvation by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord of Sabaoth, we bless your name. You have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Guard your church, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Keep her in the true faith without error, schism, or compromise, until that day when you welcome her home as your spotless bride. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, as the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, you uttered your word and the world was created. In the waters of holy baptism, you have spoken our names and declared us righteous. You have drawn us to Jesus, the light of life, and saved us. Let his light now shine through us, that others may see our good works and give glory to you, Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your abiding presence in all times of life, especially in our homes by your word. Protect our youth from all temptations and sin. Lead broken families to confess their wrongs to you and to each other, and then to forgive each other as in Christ you forgive them. Open the hearts of all married people, that their love for each other may never grow weary, but deepen and grow through every joy and sorrow shared. Be with the elderly as they cope with physical limitations and weaknesses. Give them spiritual strength to cling to their mercies, which are new every morning. Lord, in your mercy, in government and law, Father, you work to establish and preserve order, protecting the weak and fostering godly virtue. Bless our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Bless all who defend us in the armed forces, aid us in the emergency and medical fields, or inform us. Hinder those who oppress any people with mistruth, violence, or fear. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, as you continue to uphold your creation, be with us as we still suffer under the curse of sin. By your will, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the lonely, relief to those whose hearts are heavy with grief, and aid to those who are in any need. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in the Blessed Sacrament, your Son gives his body as bread of heaven and his blood as the cup of salvation. Help us to receive this Blessed Sacrament with faith and show forth the fruits of the Spirit in lives of faith, repentance, and goodness. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance, of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.